and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to welcome everyone to the February 26th work session at Chester Heights Borough. First up on the agenda is roll call. In attendance tonight, we have Mayor Stacy Smith, Councilpersons Philip Block, Gina Marie Ellis, Teresa Gustinelli, myself, Steve Cocosa, Jordan Goldberg, and Susan Clark. Also in attendance, Solicitor Jerry Montella and Engineer Matt Eden. Next up on the agenda is opportunity for the public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. Anyone in the first row? Second row? Third row? Okay, moving forward.
I was asked by a member of the public that had to leave to bring up an issue.
Okay.
It's Scott Coyntot and Lynn Kruger, and they're on Llewellyn Road. The exact number, I can look it up, but they stated that people are dropping off used tires on the 301 Llewellyn Road property.
I saw that.
Oh, great.
And he said there's approximately 40 tires there, and that they're also, like, as they're doing it, they're driving through their yard to turn around. So they probably dumped some, found they weren't caught, and did it again. So who would follow up on that?
I think Rich Jensen as the first prong.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Stephen Malongo, 7 Bobby Lane. Media Borough Police Department have contacted me. They're doing an investigation because they're having a problem with this, even in media.
Okay.
And they had a person over by my shop. I don't know if they arrested them, but they did contact me to see if we had anything like that going on.
Huh. We do.
So, I mean, I assume we have to clean it up. I don't know what the status of that is.
Is this the property of Pete Rodham's?
Yeah. That was the demolished.
Yeah.
Right, so this is the abandoned property, right?
That's a good question, Philip. I'm assuming no one else is going to clean up if we don't clean it up.
Yeah, I would imagine that
unless for some reason
Pete
they find
able
the part
to get
responsible.
A hold of the owner of that property.
Okay.
Whether he's still in contact with him. I know when my last discussion with Pete related to that property, he had been in discussions with that property owner. I mean, that would be one alternative. The other would be to get Rich Jensen out there. And depending upon what that status is, you'd probably make a decision as to
Well, do we know if the property owner was involved? We don't know that.
I have no idea at this point. I mean, I can reach out to
I believe the property owner is in Maryland, so
right.
I doubt
he's out of state.
Okay.
Involved in any sense. Somebody just saw an opportunity to get rid of some waste tires and
vacant
property. That's
okay.
What they did.
So should we ask the property owner if we should take steps to prevent people from being able to dump things on the property and send him a bill for it? Or have him engage a contractor to do that? I mean, really, if whoever ends up buying the property, it's going to be an issue for them, really.
I would think that Pete probably had some difficulty the last time around because he was out of state and he wasn't as cooperative as he could have been. I'd have to touch base with Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that if that's the case, then it would probably be something maybe the borough, through the building inspector, maybe put something up to maybe change or something to prohibit people from entering onto the property and maybe cleaning it up. And then sending the gentleman a bill.
Well, is there any sign that says no dumping, private property, or anything like that?
I couldn't
Because that's
you.
Another thing that should probably should be put. So
put some notices
yeah,
up.
Yeah, put any signage up saying it's no dumping, fines.
But that, I think, would go through Rich Jensen.
Okay.
So, since inspections is my committee, I'll let Rich Jensen know. Okay?
Okay, very good. Thank you. Moving forward, number four on our agenda tonight, the Kenny sketch plan. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yes.
I have Sunoco Engineer on my agenda as number four.
Hold on. Let me see.
There's a fresh one on your plate.
I do. Okay. So let me, since you stepped up first, we can have Sunoco.
Sure.
You have to yours if you don't mind. Okay.
So, do you need my name and address?
Yes, please.
Sure. Bobby Kenny.
103 Valley Brook Road.
Okay.
So we submitted this sketch to the Planning Commission on Thursday. I unfortunately couldn't attend that meeting.
Okay.
But they had a number of questions that they wanted me to address today.
Okay.
The first one was sewer access to the site. Currently, there's a septic tank on the existing property.
All right.
Sewer access is an issue. The closest one is the Southwest Dilworth County Municipal Authority. Reaching out to them, it's apparently several months away from actually being able to have them connect our sewer to the site. They're undergoing some sort of upgrades right now.
Okay.
I don't know the full details of it. Have you
submitted anything to them as far as a planning module or any of those kind of?
No.
Okay. So this is just in the sketch state. This is just your first?
Yes.
Okay.
May I ask a question? I was curious to know how many acres is a property and how many lots are you planning on putting on it and what type of buildings are you planning to put on the lots?
Sure. It's 13 acres. We're planning on putting 8 lots and it's going to be single family homes. It's zoned as 1.5 acre lots, but we are planning on using lot averaging to meet the zoning requirement.
How wide is your access road going in? It doesn't depict it on your sketch plan here.
No, I don't know that off the top of my head.
Okay. And one other comment I have, there's no access as far as for emergency purposes. If something were to block this lane, has there been provisions made for that? Or
May I step up?
Sure.
So our preliminary plan for secondary access would be requesting an easement from the landowners here.
Okay.
Just for pavers, you know, very...
Grass pavers?
Yes.
Okay.
Just, you know, 25 feet wide for fire access.
Right.
This turnaround is also wide enough for a standard fire truck.
Okay. Okay. But that access is not shown on here as of yet?
No.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Matt, have you seen this? Do you have any...
I just saw, you know, the one comment I have for Mr. Kenny is that green creek that your entrance road is crossing,
that
drains 2,000 acres of ground. The flows coming down there are going to be a magnitude that you're not going to cross that stream with a culvert or a box culvert. You're actually going to have to construct a bridge to do that, and I would advise you to check the financial impacts of that, because I'm not so sure 7 or 8 lots can support the improvement cost to install a bridge at that location.
Okay. Thank you.
I just have a question. There are some severe elevation changes here where you have some house lots drawn. I'm just curious about that. That's actually a cliff right there. How are you going to build housing there?
I'll have to talk to my architect about that.
Any further questions?
I just have I don't know if this is an issue or not, but isn't that the property that has a lot of bamboo on it?
Yes, it is.
Is that an issue in any way, shape, or form? It'll have to be torn down as part of the construction.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. It's just an observation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you were in that stage or not. Are these private or dedicated roads?
The road on the drawing? It would be a private road maintained by a homeowner.
And what, on this diagram, one of the questions is, what amount of land is not developable? It can't be developed approximately?
Sure. May I approach?
Yes.
The dark green on here is land that wouldn't be developed.
And what acreage is would have to be approximately?
Sorry, it's a little difficult to read on here.
I
this is 3.87 acres of open space.
Is that an additional acres here, or is that included in that? Okay, and that's of the 3.87 developed.
Correct.
So, okay, thanks.
Any further questions or comments from council? Mr. Kenny, anything else you want to add?
No.
No?
Just what's your anticipated timing in terms of bringing it forward?
I suppose it really depends on the municipal authorities' infrastructure upgrades. They're telling me that it's not possible to connect until that's complete. They said they'll have more information for me in 30 days.
Where's the sewer coming from?
They'd have to tie into Southwest Line, which is on the other side of the Chester Creek.
So that's actually in Concord.
Aston.
I'm sorry, Aston. Mm-hmm. So are we going to have the same issues?
It'd be needed.
Different team, right?
Yeah, and another. It would take another amendment to the intermunicipal agreement because that area isn't. I don't believe it's presently covered.
I don't believe that area is covered by the last map that was approved by the borough.
So just like you know, there's a lot of work on agreements between Chester Heights and Aston to even.
I assume that Southwest is looking at what plant that they would.
Pump station.
The pump station. Where the flow is going to go. Is that true. Have you had those discussions with Southwest?
She didn't explain the context. She just said there was some sort of facility upgrades.
When you say she, I assume you were talking to Cecilia Nelson.
Yes.
So did Ms. Nelson tell you at all about when those future upgrades may be with that particular pump station?
She just told me check back in 30 days.
You don't know whether or not Stantec, their engineer, where they are with regard to the upgrade of that pump station to take your flow to that pump station.
I'm sorry, you mentioned an agreement. What's the context of that?
So in order for the borough has what's called an intermunicipal agreement with Southwest, which is a municipal authority. So the borough has an agreement with the municipal authority to allow for sewage treatment, to allow that sewage to go into Southwest's plant, okay, which I think ultimately goes to
Delcora.
So, as council said, there's a lot of work probably that needs to be done, as opposed to 30 days. You're looking at probably several months before any of those issues, those sewer issues, get resolved.
Okay.
And I would suggest that you go back to talk to Ms. Nelson to see what the timeline might be with regard to that, those pump station, those improvements, and those sewer facilities are going to get upgraded.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But do check out, that crossing is going to be problematic for you, so I'd have your engineer take a quick study of that to advise you before, you know, you have too much of an investment into this process.
Great.
Any further questions, concerns? Okay, thank you, Mr. Kenny.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Jumping back to number 4 on the agenda, there's a representative from Sunoco Corporation here.
Hi. All set?
We're all set.
All right. We probably will have a few exhibits. Where would you like those to the boards to be placed? Like a standard
hole,
actually.
Maybe right there, propped up against your briefcase.
Sure,
do you want? Would you like an easel?
Do we have an easel?
Not my car.
Well, of course you have an easel.
Okay. I think we'll be okay.
You put them on his chair.
Most of the stuff you've seen, probably.
Okay.
My guess.
And these items are pertinent to Chester Heights.
Yes.
The work performed in Chester Heights. Zone.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we're here tonight to talk about the work that Sunoco is doing.
Thank you.
For SEPTA, really. We were asked by SEPTA to move one of the pipes that is used in Mariner 1 so that they can build their new station, their new Wawa station. At that point, so that's what we call the Mariner 1 project, and we are moving the pipe. Well, actually, the truth of the matter is, I had a conversation with your solicitor about it. The new pipe is in the ground already. I'll explain how we got to that point. But the new pipe is in the ground. It's deeper. It's straighter. It's shorter than the old route. We have not taken the old one out of service. We have not taken the old one out of the ground. So we've disturbed land, I guess, by drilling, but not by open cut at this point. The new one is not in service. It's been, as I said, it's installed. It's not tied in. It's been tested. Construction went very smoothly. Now, why are we here? How did we get here after having done the work? We had, I'm sure you're familiar with the DEP. We had a DEP permit. We had the 102 permit from the Commonwealth. We have the county permit in place. We file an application pursuant to your ordinance. Our engineer thought that your engineer accepted it, said it looked good, that it was going to be approved, and that that we could start work. We did start the work. We then, I guess after a few months, I think that was in August, and then a few months later, I think April, we came back and said, we still don't have a permit. What's going on with the permit? Thought that was going to be issued. We were told that we had to come in front of council before the permit would be issued. So here we are in front of council to talk about the permit that apparently has not been issued. But I think we submitted everything in accordance with your ordinance. So everything should have been submitted. And I think you should be in a position to be able to issue the permit. But it was unfortunate that we did start work thinking that we had the go-ahead. That's been typical, by the way, in many municipalities across the Commonwealth. We would submit our plan, our land disturbance plan. We'd get the approval from the engineer, and your ordinance indicates that your engineer can issue it. So we get the verbal, okay, we got it, looks good, go ahead.
If I can clarify one thing for Borough Council. When I reviewed the permit, I looked that they had the state permits and the conservation district permits, as the gentleman has explained. And I was I had no real issues in terms of sediment and erosion control. But before I issued the permit, I presented to Borough Council that we have this in front of us. I had an exhibit for Borough Council, and several council members indicated that they would first like to have Sunoco come in, tell us what they're doing, tell us what their safety plan is, you know, and go through it. I relayed that information to the design engineer for Sunoco. I told him that the plans were adequate as far as I was concerned, but that I could not issue the permit until somebody came before Borough Council. There was never a point in time where I told your engineer that work could continue. I freely indicate that I thought the plans were in proper condition, but no permit would be issued until there was a presentation to Borough Council. So I just want to make that clear to council.
Yeah, and I understood from speaking with Jerry that was your position, and I didn't intend to have a, you know, who said it first or who denied it or whatever. There was apparently a misunderstanding, no doubt about it. Our design engineer is here. He can talk about the project. Again, we've checked all the boxes. I think we've submitted everything. The permit should be issued, I think, at this point. So we're here to, I can have the engineer go through the, you know, what we did, why we did it, show you the plans, explain it. That's what we were planning to do tonight. Would you like to do that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ed, why don't you first of all introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Ed Worski. I'm the construction manager for the project.
Construction manager.
I was out on site when we did the construction activities. I was out for the permitting aspect for the county when they came out for inspection work, and also Middletown Township came out and did inspection of the work site. So I was not the design engineer, unfortunately. I'm not.
Can I give you more or less credit than you would do?
I'm sorry, it's okay.
Or you're welcome, I don't know which.
Both, I guess. All right. Does everybody see? That's Route 1 right there. This area right here is Chester Heights. This is the existing line as it lays today. Crosses over, then goes, this is within the Middletown Township, and on, and right over here is the actual proposed tie-in in Middletown Township. This is the drill entry point, the HDD entry point. The drill went this way, across the stream, and now is in Middletown Township. Show your profile of what it is. This is, again, this is the directional drill design and layout. The entry point is here right by the creek where the existing line is. We start a setback here where we do the did the directional drill. There is a portion of pipe that was then attached to the end of the drill string and now is laid over here. It is capped, waiting for the installation of a line. If the line goes this way, this is plan view. Here's the profile. So this is where we started, right here. The drill goes in. It crosses across the railroad tracks. Right here is the stream, and right here is probably the borough and township line. So at this point, we're roughly 40 feet in rock below grade. It then continues on and eventually comes back up and gets over by the railroad tracks. It comes up parallel to the railroad tracks. If you want to see an overall scope, that's out of your township, but just for awareness purposes. It pops up right along the railroad tracks, the SEPTA tracks. At this point, then SEPTA allowed us to do a perpendicular crossing. All these rails were removed, ties were all removed. We open cut this portion. The line was put in, the flowable fill in. So the compaction to meet the railroad standards and everything else was backfilled. At this point, the pipeline goes uphill, gradient, up a rock slope. We had to jackhammer it in. We put soft fill and materials around it, and the pipe is now laying right next to the existing line with a cap on it waiting for the installation where when this line can come down and then the tie-in. There's roughly 400 feet in your township now with the new line, the new line versus which would be all of this over to here would be what is now going to be abandoned, yet to be determined. It's going to be filled with grout at this point.
How is the pipeline abandoned? What are the laws or rules governing how you abandon a pipeline?
Yes, there absolutely are.
The line will be filled with grout, so it'll be pumped with the grout material.
To solidify,
like
grout that solidifies?
Yeah, hard, without the aggregate. It's just a pumpable grout material that can be pumped in one side, fill the pipeline up, vent it out, so that the pipeline is totally filled, so that there would be no collapsing of the line itself.
Will any part of the line be deadwood as a result of the Wawa station?
Yes. At this point right now, down here, there's a valve site that will be removed. and all this material is being removed. So we're going to drop the whole line and then cut this portion out. And we're in Energy Transfer Partners are in discussions right now with what Wawa wants to do with the rest of this line as well.
If it's possible, could this be a section of the middle section removed and capped on both ends?
Yes.
It's one option. The other option is they might decide to remove the other section.
Remove, yeah. Exactly. But we would still not disrupt the stream. There's no reason to disrupt the stream to go in and rip the pipe out from the stream bed. It's below the stream. It would be capped and it's filled with grout. And same with the railroad crossing up here. This is currently not planned to be removed.
So, out of curiosity, over time, with the pipe aging, with the creek, is there any environmental concerns if the pipe cracks, the fill leaks out, or anything like that?
No, it's solid. It's like concrete.
Okay.
And it'll hold its shape, and then it's not going to, the compaction around it, the soil around it, it's really not going to go anywhere. The only issue would be is if there was a void in the area without having grout in it, because then it's an 8-inch line, you could have some settlement from that.
Okay. How deep is that line?
Which line here?
The existing line.
Roughly 3 feet below grade through and in through here. So this one is now, it starts out about 5. And then you'll see the the slope going down.
I'm not sure if you can see that from there.
Is that better?
Yeah.
So this is continually going down, so it's getting deeper as it progresses down. And like I said, it hits a horizontal down here, tangent right here, which is right about where the stream is, and runs flat for a period of time, goes underneath Route 1, and then it starts to make its path back up. But that's in the middle.
When you cross that stream, approximately how far below the stream bed?
About 38 to 40 feet.
Wow. Okay.
And it was in rock.
I have two questions, not necessarily on the engineering side, but I'm a little concerned with the communication or lack thereof with the borough. So on two items, one, I do have some concern that the drilling was done without coming in to talk to us first, given the issues that Sunoco has had with HDD drilling on other pipelines in the area, and that this is crossing a pretty sensitive creek in our borough. So I think it would have been a good idea to come and talk to us prior to that happening. And I'm also a little concerned, if I'm not mistaken, ME1 was repurposed about a year and a half ago, correct? And the borough and the citizenry of our borough were never notified of that. And as an example, Adelphia is repurposing their pipeline and they notified everybody of it. I have a lot of concern for the safety of our residents with the fact that they weren't notified, and the fact that FEMSA put out a advisory about repurposed pipes with reverse flow and their susceptibility to cracks and leaks, and the given material that's flowing through here. I don't know if our emergency coordinator was ever notified, or residents within a locale, the borough surely wasn't notified. So I do have some questions about the lack of communication. I really would never have known this pipe was repurposed until a few months ago when we found out you guys were looking at drilling. So I do have some questions why our residents aren't being notified about this particular pipe in our area that, you know, we all live around.
I'm not sure what your question is.
Well, I would like you to address why the borough wasn't notified. Well, you kind of explained there may have been a mistake on the drilling, but especially on the repurposing of this pipeline, why was the borough never notified?
I don't know.
Can you
I wasn't involved when it was repurposed. I wasn't part of part of that decision-making process.
Could you please look into that and get back to us? Because to date, our residents still don't know that this pipeline was repurposed and the potential impact on property values and things like that. So,
well, and is the fire department prepared, you know, in the event there was an issue, are you guys prepared to handle it?
We're still working on that.
Okay. But
we're working with the other municipalities along with the county in developing a comprehensive plan at this time.
Is Sunoco helping in that effort or not?
Do they go to training?
Yeah, so before this Mariner 1 pipeline was put into ethane service, they met and trained with all the emergency responders along the line. We call it our MARO problem, our MARO program. And I think Lawrence Ward.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a cursory overview right now. We're still looking into.
Right. Yeah, but there was actually a MARO for the ME1, and then we actually redid the MARO for ME2.
ME2, yes.
But I know as a fact, you guys have been to other communities with regards to ME2 to talk about impact. This line has now been in operation for a year and a half, and this is the first time.
I think that, you know, the existing line was in a you know, hazardous materials service, a liquid service. You know, the regulations didn't change. It's still in the hazardous liquid service. You know, we did do some notifications through our public awareness program. We have, you know, once every year, we have the meetings in all our locations. So excavators are invited, emergency responders are invited, municipal folks are invited to go to those meetings to learn about pipeline and pipeline safety. So we do those. We also do the mailings to all the property owners within a certain buffer. So it's we're required to do mailings within 660 feet along the pipeline. For the Mariner 1 program, we actually doubled that. And so we do a little over 1,200 feet in each side of the pipeline. So mailings go out every 2 years to all the residents about, you know, pipeline safety, what to look for, one calls, building around pipelines. So we do have that safety program.
I'm just not aware of that happening in this town, and I'm not aware of the borough council being notified of it either.
Well, isn't most of this located within the Wawa Preserve, so there might not be any houses within 1,200 feet of this particular project?
But Drew, doesn't ME1 go right by our houses?
Excuse me, council speaking, so you can ask a question during a public comment. Thank you.
Yeah, the area where it does go through the township is pretty rural. I think it goes through Wawa property. That goes through the old train site and then goes over by, I guess, Lenai Road. So probably the only residents might be over by Lenai Road.
But Wawa's right here. And now with several hundred people there, they're in that.
My property is
well, no doubt that the people that live there got
I got
their
properties
mailings.
Within 5 feet.
I do not know that.
Did you get a notice?
They didn't notify council.
People in pipelines.
They're not required.
They used to take care of them. They used to clean
up
on top of them.
We have responsibility for the safety of the people.
Fallen trees cross the pipeline.
But if they're not required to, then they don't have to do it.
Well, we have a right to.
What is your address?
To ask for it.
458 Lenai Road.
I'm 458A.
On 460 Arbor Way.
What's that?
460 Arbor Way actually passes right next to mine. It's actually on my property.
Yeah, it's through a lot of my property too.
We lived within.
You're close. We're there.
As per Russ's comment, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, if a tree fell, they were out there the next day. I don't know how they saw it that quick. You know, they would mow the right of way and the easement every, you know, once a season. But the last couple of years, there's been trees down and
quite a few.
Yeah, I've been looking into it for you.
Thank you.
That would be nice.
We don't want that.
Because I'm going to start making phone calls. We started to get annoyed. You know, when trees fall down,
right.
Suggest people aren't paying attention to that line anymore.
Yeah, it's, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Do you have a link on your website for Sunoco and who to call and things like that? Because we've done that with a lot of other municipalities, and that way we can get a... I mean, we have a hotline where you can call in and the call then gets redirected to the right place. I can imagine those kinds of calls ought to be easy to take care of.
Pretty routine.
Would you leave that with us tonight, maybe, prior to leaving? Or
We'll get it to you for sure. We want you to have it. I mean,
okay.
We've gone around and given it to every municipality for exactly these kinds of reasons. That's not helpful to us to have a tree down.
Well, but you used to maintain it.
I understand.
And now you don't anymore. So that's what bothers me. Because you let everything grow up, and if it starts leaking, nobody's going to know.
Yeah, normally there's a cycle. So they would mow it every year or every 3 years.
I'm telling you, they haven't done it in years now. And I've been there 17 years. So they did it in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, cost cutting went into effect everywhere. And that's part of cost cutting. Oh, we don't need that anymore. We'll fly something over it once every year or something. Who knows?
Yeah, they
definitely get flung. We'll find out.
Well, when the big trees were all there,
yeah.
You know, you get a little ways that line up above.
To the canopy?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and as you trim it, the trees want to grow toward the sun, so they keep growing.
Yes, exactly. Yep. And they're only 50, 75 feet high, so.
Yeah.
Okay, any further comments, questions?
I'm sorry.
I have a process question. I don't think either of these gentlemen identify themselves. Is someone going to give Sue their names for the minutes?
I'm sorry. I thought he spoke his name before. Can you just, for the record,
I didn't say
George,
I don't believe so. No.
Identify yourself. Sorry.
To try to remember how to spell it. Yeah, my first name is George. My last name is Krociulik, Krociulik. And I represent the applicant.
We met the construction manager, and this gentleman here is, what's your name?
I'm James Franciscus.
And what is it here?
I'm the manager of Rightway.
I imagine you're counsel?
I am.
Can you give me a spell of my name?
Please.
Wierski. Wiersky. I work for STV Energy Services. Engineering.
Thank you. I'll give it to Sue for the minutes.
Okay. Okay.
So how much more work is done, or is the drilling complete?
As it stands right now, the pipeline is laying there waiting for the shutdown to occur. And the line will then it's laying right next to it. It'll just be pulled over. The old pipeline will be cut away, and a weld will be done on the side in Chester Heights. And then, again, up here over in Middletown, there would be the same thing. The line is laying right next to the existing line and capped. That'll be the old line would be cut. The line would be slid over and welded in.
And those will be inspected welds?
Yeah, everything was 100% x-rayed, and all the records were sent to the corporate office, and then PHMSA did an audit, I think. But we have to fill out the paperwork right now. And the hydro test was completed per PHMSA requirements.
What was that? The hydro test, was that? You put water through it?
You put water through it, and you pump it up, and there's stages that you put it up to, and then you hold it for 8 hours. Then you lower it, and then you let the pressure off.
What was the timing of the tie-ins? Is there a schedule for that?
The end of April to the beginning of May, there's a time frame that they're still trying to coordinate the schedule.
Okay. We need to get out of SEPTA's way because they're starting construction as soon as we're finished. And they're pushing.
And that's the tie-in for both of us, correct?
That is correct.
Do you know what the PSI of the pipe is as it goes through Chester Heights?
I don't, off the top of my head, know.
1480. So what we'll be doing is we'll take the product out of the existing line, and then we'll have to cut into the existing line and make the tie-ins to the new line, and then we'll refill the line. So we have to do that before SEPTA can get in there and do their work. So they're scheduled to start theirs on June 1st.
So you're looking to have that done before June 1st?
We have to be out of their way by June 1st.
Does that include the fill? The pipe fill too?
Yep. So we'll, as soon as we're done making the tie-ins, then we'll start to grout the existing line, and then we'll go in and cut out the sections that septa needs removed so that they can accommodate their work.
Are you going to test the tie-ins?
Yep. So the tie-ins are welded, and then they'll be actually.
Are you hydro-tested?
No, because the pipe itself is already hydro-tested, so the only thing we then examine is the weld itself. The rest of the pipe had already been hydro-tested in the past, operating and picked through it. So you only need to test the new weld inside. The rest of the pipe, the new pipe was already hydro-tested.
This pipeline takes product from Marcus Hook to where?
The other way.
It goes to Marcus Hook.
So it's taking product from western Pennsylvania and bringing it east to Marcus Hook.
How much of this project that we're discussing is in Chester Heights?
About 400 feet of the new pipe.
Okay.
You know, there's existing pipe that's running through your borough already, but it's just the...
That's what I read. I was just making sure what I read
right
was...
Here.
What,
that's right.
It's a 1,600-foot project, and 400 of it is in our borough, right?
Right.
Roughly?
Yes, about 1,700 feet. Yeah, most of it is in.
I was doing easy math.
Yes.
So it's liquid product. Was it jet fuel? What generally runs through there?
It's been numerous things over the years. Most recently, it was in refined petroleum. So it was gasoline, diesel fuel, home heating oil, kerosene, jet fuel.
And is that what the continued use would be?
No, this is the Mariner 1 pipeline, so it's in ethane service. So obviously we're running the Mariner 2, which would, you know, basically take product from the Mariner 1 line and move it to Mariner 2.
So it's compressed ethane at 14 degrees.
It's liquefied gas?
Yeah.
Liquefied gas?
Correct. So it's propane, butane, ethane.
Large expansion.
Mm-hmm. And what happens to it when it gets to Marcus Hook?
So there's stops along the way where we have delivery stations for propane and some other things. Once it gets to Marcus Hook, it's separated. Some of that product is used locally and some of it's exported.
How much of the product going through the pipeline is exported?
I don't know.
That's not up to us. That's up to the shippers. Because we're a public utility, we can't turn any shipper away. They determine where it goes on and where it goes off. And where it goes off and goes to after that, we don't know and we don't control.
Well, if I can ask an engineering question, why so deep? Why is it 30, 40 feet in the ground?
Well, because of where it was located and the ability to get underneath the stream and Route 1, and there are requirements for depth underneath the highway. So you've got to keep a decent radius. You can't just...
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You're drilling in rock, so then you make it as easy a transition as possible, so you protect the line when you're pulling it in. Mm-hmm. So we had a nice easy radius.
But I mean, at that depth, you, if there's ever an issue in the future with that pipe, you can't get to it, right?
No.
You just shut it. You'll have to shut it down, and
that is absolutely correct.
Redo it.
And redo it.
Yeah, it's in rock. You're never going to be able to get it down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, just. For full disclosure to the community, if you can confirm, I believe there was actually three releases on ME1 in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, two at a valve station or above ground place and one underground in Morgantown. Is that correct?
Well, they weren't last year. So when they started up the Mariner 1, there was some small O-rings at our facilities that there was a small amount of product that was releasing. Our detectors detected it. The issue was resolved. We did have a very small pinhole release in Morgantown area, but we responded to that. It was very small quantities out, very small issue. So we did respond to that.
Okay, any further questions, comments?
I don't think the question's really been answered as to how the permit gets issued. The ultimate permit that the borough is requesting.
Would that be released by Fred or Rich Jensen, I'm assuming?
No, it's a land of service permit. It's a permit I usually recommend release.
Okay.
So now that they've been here, are we retroactively releasing a permit?
Well,
the
permit was applied to the borough. I think Matt had some initial issues with it based upon what I heard. The ordinance itself indicates that the permit lies within the discretion of the borough engineer. I think typically Matt, as I would, bring these kinds of issues to borough council for disclosure and a presentation, which is why they're standing here and sitting here tonight. So right now, I guess it would be within, the borough engineer's review process to issue a permit, giving councils, I think, some comments by council on what they would like to see done. I don't want to speak for them.
No, and the permit, that generally is overseen, the land disturbance permit, really is only for the grading, the land, disturbance of earth aspects of this. And it, of course, there's other aspects related to the pipeline, which borough council had some interest in. That's why I requested of their engineer to have a presentation here months ago, which they did not provide, but they're here now. Now, in terms of how their application package is with respect to land disturbance, they got their state permit, they got their county conservation district permit. There was really very little earth disturbance associated with the line since they bored most of it. With respect to the land disturbance and the sediment and erosion control aspects, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. But due to the fact that council requested that I not issue the permit until they come in and give a presentation, I may be looking to council and say, is it okay to release the permit at this point in time?
And for the record, that was a previous council. There are four different people sitting at the seven-person council right now, so I just want to make sure that's on the record.
We heard.
Okay.
Is that something, Jerry, that we would need a motion for? Approval of that permit be released?
I don't believe so. I mean, okay. When I looked at the ordinance, it looks to the borough engineer, approval of the borough engineer. I think I don't want to speak for Matt, but I saw it as being an engineering issue, that the land disturbance permit. The issuance of the land disturbance permit.
Okay.
Typically in the past, as I would, I think Matt would typically let council know.
As a courtesy.
What's going on, what direction you would like to, go, if you had any comments, if you had any questions, any concerns. But from looking at from the review of the ordinance itself, I think it's within the purview of the borough engineer to issue the permit. He has issues with it, then he would bring them up to council, as I would as the solicitor.
Okay. So it seems like you're satisfied, Matt?
In terms of erosion and sediment control, yes, I'm satisfied.
Okay.
Again, I was previously asked by council to not issue the permit until they requested to come in and make a presentation. If council is satisfied now with the presentation given tonight, I would proceed and go ahead and issue the permit.
Okay. I just one comment. Considering that this is, I guess, the cart after the horse scenario, because the work is done. So regardless of the permit issue or not, the work is done, right? So the big question is would this be subject to any fines or penalties as associated with the work being done before the permits are actually issued? And it's just a basic question before we go through the process. Just because, there was a request put out there, it was never honored, or it was completed.
I mean, that's a interpretation, I guess, of the ordinance. I guess if council is considering to direct the solicitor to file something before the MDJ, he has relates to this ordinance, I think that would be something you would talk about in executive session. There's a provision in the ordinance which allows for a fine. That fine would be, I think it's not less than $600. The MPC, however, has a different provision that's actually no more than $500. It's something that I guess council could consider. Given the totality of circumstances, I guess I would not in this public forum state my opinion with regard to a litigation issue. I think that's more for an executive session.
Fair enough. I mean, I think it's worth discussion before
before we
go ahead and make a decision at this point, in my opinion.
I agree. Okay, any further questions, comments? No one? Great, thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And you will send us that contact info?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Great.
Thank you. I'll get it to Jerry.
Thank you. Okay, moving forward, item number 6, National Drug Take-Back Day. Phillip.
Yes, I want to bring before the council an opportunity and judge interest level. On April 28th, actually every year, but April 28th is the National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day.
I'm sorry, what day was it?
April 28th, and it's from 2 a.m. to 2 p.m. And basically, communities can offer their citizens a place to come bring prescription drugs, and especially now with the view of the issues about opioid crisis, it's more important. I'd like to gauge the interest of council if we would like to do that this year. We do have to get recognized by DEA to have, they would bring the receptacle, and since we're collecting drugs, they have to approve it. And I would also, if we're interested in doing it, maybe spend some money to advertise it to the community. And I would actually ask the fire department maybe to actually host that event in the fire department versus in this room. But it's a it's 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if the council's so willing, I will make the effort to get police and DA approval to make this a take back site. I didn't bring with me, but they have a list, the DEA has a list of how many tons of drugs they collect a year from this, and I know I have a lot in my closet. So it's something that maybe we could offer the community to do.
Okay.
If people will. And if so, I'll get it set up.
Yes, please.
So thank you.
Please do.
Bill, what was the date?
April 28th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so they would bring an approved receptacle and then pick it up at the end of the event, which is why you have to get their approval to do it.
Okay. But, all right, very good. Okay, moving forward, on the agenda number 7, the MS4 program. Matt, do you want to give us a quick overview of that?
Thanks for the late addition to the agenda. I'd be looking for Borough Council's approval to place an ad in the local paper, probably just the Garnet Valley Press, to keep the cost down. It's required every so often that the as part of the public involvement, that the municipality place an ad in a newspaper just to state briefly the importance of stormwater and keeping illicit material out of stormwater runoff, because it eventually ends up in the creeks and streams. I did this a couple years ago, and I think the cost was around $400. For the ad, so I'd be looking if Borough Council would authorize the release of those funds for that purpose.
Okay, Jerry, is that something that we need a motion for at a regular council meeting, or can we call for that motion at a work session to approve that?
I like to do it in the next couple of weeks.
You can do it. You can do it the next council.
Okay.
Can I ask the engineer a question?
Mm-hmm.
They asked that maybe at the next meeting or the next work session meeting. Since we have a new council, you might want to go through the MS4 plan, because there is some, I don't know if the council's aware, there is some, there's going to be some cost associated with getting us up to speed in the next couple of years in terms of retrofitting some of the drainage areas.
Okay.
And you all should be aware of it. So, Matt, if you wouldn't mind, maybe at the next work session.
Work session.
if everybody's good with that, if you could present the plan.
That's fine.
Sure, great, okay. Any other questions, concerns on the MS4 program? Okay, moving forward, number 8 on the agenda, communications. Gina.
Okay, everybody should have a copy of the social media policy as it stands in front of them. I have a couple of suggestions per our committee meeting last week or whenever it was. So first page, point 2, under control. Going to change it a little bit. Right now it reads the Borough Communications Committee Chair will have the authority to establish and terminate social media accounts that have been approved, and I'd like to change that as a committee to the Borough Communications Committee will have the authority to establish and terminate social media accounts with the approval of council upon recommendation of the Communications Committee. I don't think it should be left to one person, any of those things, so I'd like to make that change. Also, under control, I'm going to add a bullet point. With all the issues that I've been having with Twitter and Instagram and things that I'm having a very difficult time getting them to attach my email to it, I decided moving forward it might be a good idea to create an email address, socialmedia@chesterheights.org. So the committee chairperson has access to that email, and then whoever is the committee chairperson at the time, our email administrator, right now it's Sue Timmons, whoever it may be in the future, will just change the password and give the next chairperson access to that particular email. So the email has been created. I've not accessed it yet. I've not advertised it yet, obviously, because it's not, you know, approved. But I'd like to add the sentence, the email address socialmedia@chesterheights.org will be used for creating and registering social media and website accounts for all social and for social media community feedback. That way, any of the information and feedback we're getting on our website or for Facebook or for the constant contact emails that come out, those emails will actually go to the social media account rather than the info, which is the account that Sue uses right now. And it's an overwhelming amount of information coming in, so that will also go to the social media account. The email will be accessed by the Communications Committee Chair and monitored by the email administrator.
That's a question. So that would be an email strictly just for like general questions and stuff from citizens
and feedback specific to the social media, something feedback on Facebook, feedback on constant contact, feedback on emails, feedback on anything that's communications, not the info stuff.
So if somebody had a question about a permit, we would still direct them to
absolutely
info. Yeah, I just
no absolutely so. would specifically be on the Facebook page or the if I ever get Twitter up and running, Twitter saying if you have any questions or comments, email goes to socialmedia@chesterheights.org. That way we're not constantly trying to figure out who has access to what based upon which person is the communications chair. It's just that this is the communications chair's email moving forward to whoever it is in the future. I just think it would be cleaner that way, and everything moving forward will have this email on it as opposed to it being attached to a single council individual. That way, it's covered.
Sorry, one more question. Since you're actually putting it in policy, do we have that email name purchased?
Yeah, it's set up.
Okay.
It's just not in use yet. It's not approved yet. Wanted to make sure it was set up.
I didn't want to make sure we had it before we
did it. No, it's set up. I just haven't done anything with it yet. And then the very next page, when it comes to elected officials, the third bullet point, there is a typo. For risk of having a quorum that subjects them to open meeting laws. So I just want to fix the typo in that.
Is this on page 2?
3.
3.
3.
And then I want to add a bullet point to this. And this was I'm adding something that was an unwritten thing that previous councils did that's never been put in writing. But since we have a policy, I thought it'd be a good idea to put it in writing. Sitting officials that are running for office will not be featured in newsletters, on sites, or with bylines during election season so as not to give residents the impression of an unfair advantage. And that's the end of our suggestions for changes and additions to the social media policy. I would like to vote on that at the next meeting.
Again, sitting officials. Can you read that again?
That are running for office will not be featured in newsletters, on the sites, or with bylines during election season so as not to give residents the impression of an unfair advantage.
So by running for office, you mean that they would have gained a spot on the ticket in the primary?
Correct.
And anything leading up to the primary would be fine?
No, anyone, once the petition is signed and put in, so anybody running for office. So case in point, 4 years ago when you were running and Mike Pierce was running, they were going to do a whole subject, like an article in the newsletter on him, and decided not to because they didn't want to give him an unfair advantage. And it was always an unwritten rule. So rather than it being unwritten, we have a policy. I want to get it written.
But I think it needs to be after they've been officially approved as a candidate per the primary. Not just that you fill, I can do a petition today. That doesn't mean I'm a candidate running for office. So it really is the primary that sets that determination.
I would say when the petitions are put into the election board.
No, after the primary.
No,
just because
you're running. Once you put your petition in, your campaign starts. Or at least that's how it worked for us last year.
I would argue it's almost when you announce, and that actually could happen before petitions.
So you actually, you're right, it does happen before petitions, yeah.
Yeah.
You should say it's the petition due date would be the date.
I would argue it's when you actually announce. And you may not announce until you put your petitions in, but when you officially announce you're running for office, you really shouldn't be using any borough assets to promote
Correct,
yourself.
Yes.
Right. I just want to establish what that meant, because...
That have announced, how's that? That have announced they are running for office.
And that announcement may be the actual petition submission.
Right.
But a lot of times they happen before, so.
I'll put he, she, you know, he slash she, not they. So sitting officials that have announced they are running for office, he or she is running for office, will not be featured, blah, 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 blah. I'll add all that. I'll put all that in an email, or I don't know how I can put that on in a memo so we can look at it before we vote.
Can
next.
You just write this?
Yes, I will get a Word document, a Word copy of it. Okay, visitor policy, which is actually technically called the Office Safety and Records Integrity Policy. So I did a lot of research on this. We have, okay, so purpose, overview, definitions, that's all. So policy, point one, the core hours and all of that, isn't that already published in how we operate something somewhere else? I think that's already published somewhere else. Point two, the borough secretary will control access to the borough office via an intercom system or other such gateway.
Well, let's go to the first bullet. Where is it published? I don't think it was published anywhere as core hours. 9 to 3. I think that's the first time we ever put it in writing.
Well, if it's not published, it's easy enough to publish it.
Yeah, as part of borough operations.
But this was where we published it, so why change it? It's not written down anywhere.
Well, why change it is I'll get through that.
Right.
Do we have an intercom system? Or do you just let people in as you let people in?
No, we don't have an intercom
okay.
system.
That's what I thought. Okay, so that one is not applicable because we don't have an intercom system. Visitors to the borough office, as defined, will sign a visitor log and may record the purpose of their visit if comfortable of doing so. The communications committee moves that we strike that bullet. Borough employees, officials, and appointees, as defined, are not required to sign the visitor log. Strike that as well. We're striking the visitor log. Visitors will not be required to sign in during advertised and scheduled regular borough meetings. We're striking the visitor log, so we don't need that bullet either. The next two seem to me to be more like job descriptions for the borough secretary. So I think we have a job description that's current, that's not current. We have one, but it needs to be updated. So rather than address it in this policy, we suggest that it gets addressed with an updated secretary job description and assistant secretary job description, and that this particular bullet point actually is better served in another document. The next ones, as they refer to the borough files, are redundant in that we have already adopted the Municipal Records Manual. It's 104 pages long. I actually read it. It's been adopted. We saw the resolution last month. So points, the one, two, three, four, five, six of them are either redundant or more than what we are required to follow by PA State Borough Code. And I think our existing Municipal Records Manual that we adopted from the state is sufficient. And as long as we make sure we're following that, that those points are redundant. So,
could you show us at the next meeting the points in that records manual that cover these points? Like, as far as what does it say that, you know, covers these points? Because I feel like it's our responsibility to protect the records of the borough.
Protect them from whom?
Protect them from somebody walking in there and helping themselves to the records. We've been through this before. That room is not completely controlled there because of the men's room with the fire company. I'm not saying that any of you guys would do anything, but we don't know who's coming in from the fire company. And I just want to see that this manual states that it's our job to physically protect the records of the borough.
The manual gives very specific things that need to be locked and things that don't need to be locked, things that are open records that don't need open records, and things that do, and we've already adopted it. Some of these go above and beyond what the state requires us to do, and the Communications Committee is suggesting that we go with what the state requires us to do and nothing more, because if it's good enough for the state, and we've never had an issue with anyone stealing, taking photos, or absconding off with our borough files, that this is way more than necessary.
It only takes once to become legally liable for losing documents that we're supposed to maintain. And there's nothing in any manual I know that we cannot take a more stringent approach than what is at minimally required by the state. So it only takes once. Just because it hasn't happened before, we are responsible to maintain our records, including property records, historical records, records that could be used in court actions. It's our responsibility, and it's also our responsibility if we feel that we need to have more stringent requirements than what the state requires, then we are absolutely able to have those. I'm not sure what argument there would be not to ensure our records are under lock and key, especially the ones that ultimately we would have a liability on if somebody was to take off with them.
The ones that we ultimately have a liability on are locked and have always been locked per the Municipal Records Manual. The other records being locked make some residents feel like they're not welcome to their own records that belong to the borough. We are not here to keep them under lock and key. We are here to give people access to whatever they need because we protect them and we serve our residents.
Everything is available under a Freedom of Information Act, whether they're locked or not.
So why do they need to be locked?
As I've already stated once, I'm not going to repeat myself.
The ones that you refer to have always been and are already locked.
And you're sure of that? Are you the records retention officer? You're a communications lead on this. This is not a communications issue. It happens to be in a policy on records retention and safety.
That falls under my committee.
Under communications? Records retention does? I'm not aware of records retention being a communications issue.
Once the visitor's log showed up, it did. So my point is, if we're going to adopt more stringent municipal records manual policies, then we need to revisit what we already do and then decide what we're doing. But it's not visitors, it's not the borough secretary job description, and it's not a visitor log.
Well, you're actually advocating changing an existing document.
I'm advocating scrapping the document entirely.
Without reviewing what we currently do or what's currently under lock and key. Is that a thing? So this is actually an existing standard. And I think it's fair to say, if you say we need to review it, you need to review it before you scrap the document, not the other way around. We have a requirement to protect records for the integrity, and there's severe legal issues around not protecting certain documents. We have a responsibility to protect all documents for all residents, which far outweighs the right of any individual resident to feel comfortable to going through files. These files are everybody's. They can be used by any resident to potentially sue any other resident or for whatever reason, and those documents need to be maintained.
And they are. And we have
so you've been through,
104 page records manual that was adopted 5 years ago or more. I forget the date on it, actually.
And this is adopted since. So, you know, what is in here that is onerous to the point that we would scrap this current procedure?
Well, we don't have an alarm system, so.
No, I'm talking about the records retention.
Well, that was right there. It's more than we need.
Why? You're asking to scrap an existing procedure by the definition of more than we need. Why is it more than we need? We have every right to require more than the minimum the state requires. Why is it more than we need? What does this borough gain by reducing what we're asking for here?
Locking every single cabinet reduces the idea that we are transparent and we are here to serve you.
That's not true.
It says we are hiding something.
That is untrue. Every single document is available by any resident.
Perception is reality.
No.
And people thought everybody here was hiding stuff. We are about transparency. You're saying you're about transparency. We're here for the residents. Putting every single thing under lock and key is onerous when it doesn't have to be. And we've never, ever, ever had an issue with someone coming in here and absconding with files.
Well, A,
the files belong to us.
You do not know that's true. So until you go find a file that you're looking for because we don't have good records retention, you don't know that's true. We could have had a third of our files stolen. You do not know that until you are a resident looking for a file that's no longer there, and then we have responsibility for it. So that statement is untrue. And second of all, every single piece of information is available by state law through Freedom of Information Act. There's nothing hidden in this borough. And the fact that you're locking files to maintain them for the borough residents is not a matter of lack of transparency, because every file is available to any resident anytime when they file a Freedom of Information request, which a lot of people do. So I don't know how those files would not be accessible. By law, they are accessible, but you have no idea how many files actually have been stolen to this day. None of us do, because they're not locked. And when, and they're not registered when documents are looked at or not. It's standard.
But why does it matter if documents are registered if someone looks at them?
Well, it does. It could absolutely do, which is the whole point of the visitor's log, because this could be, if somebody's going to come sue you because of some property.
Who's
issue,
suing who?
Oh my God, there's been tons of lawsuits in this neighborhood. My neighbor being one of them. So if a document is missing and all of a sudden you're being sued and you have no defense because that document is missing, there's a.
The
I don't know what
the document is missing.
What's our liability if a document's missing that we were supposed to maintain?
Well, not every document is subject to disclosure. That's number one. It's not necessarily the Freedom of Information Act. I think maybe it would be under the Right to Know request. Or
I'm sorry
for Right to Know law. And depending upon what request is made under the Right to Know law, there's certain exceptions which allow for the borough to take a position that a document may be, there's a whole list, there's like 20 exceptions to whether or not the document is actually public. There's presumption that a document that's in the borough is a public record. And then based upon that presumption, there's a whole list of exemptions. So depending upon what specific file or document we're talking about would be then discussion that would start the is it under a right, is a public document on the right to know, or is there an exception to it?
Let's say it's a public document under right to know, and
okay.
It's missing.
Okay, then it's missing, and it's not available to the public. Whether somebody would then take an appeal to the Office of Open Records would be your issue. I don't necessarily think that there's a automatic violation of the statute because a document is missing. There would be an opportunity for the borough, I would presume, to identify the reason for the document being missing and why it would not be available under the right to know law.
I would just say because these documents potentially could be used by any resident for whatever need, we need to make sure that they're available. And the only way you can do that is to, you know, provide security around them. Otherwise, there's no guarantee those documents would be there.
If you go to the county and you request a record and you're looking through it, they will stand right there and make sure that you return it to them as they gave it to you. That's their duty to protect a public record. And I feel like it's the same thing here. You can't just let people go back and finger through the files unless you have them organized in some way that you have the critical files in one cabinet and that cabinet stays locked. Although I don't know what, I think it would be hard to sort out what was important and what wasn't.
Well, that's what the Municipal Records Manual, that's 104 pages long, that we adopted 5 years ago, clearly delineates exactly what is not public and or needs to be locked.
Right, but I don't think it's organized that way. I bet it's all mixed in, which is why we said lock everything.
Do we know that people have been back fingering through the files?
Well, she just said that people were upset that they couldn't go back and look through the files.
It was the perception that files were getting locked, so what were we hiding? And I don't want to sit on a council that people think we're hiding something from them when the state doesn't require us to lock things that are not needing to be locked.
We're not hiding anything. We're protecting the records, which is our duty.
But has anybody fingered through the files?
But we don't know. That's the point. You have no idea.
But the office is locked and is never left unattended.
So if there's a secretary does not allow people back there fingering through the files.
I'm sorry, is the fire department open at any time? Sometimes with the doors open?
Well, we're going to resolve that because after tonight, we're going to put a lock on that door.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be taken out of this whole equation that we may be coming in here looking
at the
files. That's the insinuation.
No, but somebody.
So we're going to take care of that tonight.
Sam, there was no insinuation.
There's a free pass there. You said there's a walkthrough. But so I'm going to close it up tomorrow morning, and then the fire company will be out of it.
Okay.
We don't like being accused or thinking we're coming in.
Sam, it's not you, but somebody could walk off the street through the fire department and around. I mean,
and somebody could break the front door, the window, chop a hole in the roof. I think you're blowing something out of proportion here. You're wasting an hour talking about records.
When we already have a state policy that we follow.
Opinion, I should shut up.
I'm with you.
Could we just let
Gina go through her...
Okay, moving forward.
So that's...
We can always revisit.
That's that one. So in a nutshell, we want to scrap the visitor's book entirely. The records retention policy, I think that section, which is just the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we can review vis-a-vis the Municipal Records Manual that already exists that we've already been following. So that's a different thing. And then everything else goes under a job description and is not even a part of this particular document. So this document needs to completely be revamped and separate out job description from records manual. And then we need to decide if we're going to go above and beyond what we've already done and what the state requires us to do that we've already adopted. Obviously, a conversation to be continued. What do I have next? Personal agenda. What's next? Website and email. Okay. The communications committee went to 3 different web host companies, including VTS, the Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs, their program, and firecompanies.com because that's what Concord Township uses, and they have a decent website, so I was able to call them and get information from Concord and from firecompanies.com. Down the left side of the document I just passed out is the name of the email company, the name of the company, and then all of the different metrics that were looked at. With Jordan's help, he added a whole bunch at the end. So going through it, only two of them, actually only one of them offers embedded email with the subscription. You guys can look and see, like basically the two that offer the most are VTS and PSAB. I'm going to actually just say firecompanies.com. Don't want to go with them. They're more expensive than PSAB and they don't have as good of a background. Based upon the information that's in front of you, which you can ask any questions about, I'm not going to go through every line item. My recommendation is to go with the Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs with a WordPress background for our website. Three things really brought me to that conclusion as opposed to VTS, which is the one we were looking at before. First one is it has an email with the service. So VTS is a lot more expensive and does not have email. And I know we're all having issues with Just Host, and I think we're all anxious to get off of Just Host. And it would be a lot easier if our email was connected to our website. And then the gentleman at Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs, who is the point person to help us create our website, is, where's my thing? He himself owns a design company that has contributed to WordPress Core, and he's written plugins. 75% of all websites in the United States have a WordPress background. 28% of the entire internet is WordPress. Other websites that use WordPress are CNN, CBS, New York Times, TED, IBM, Time, Fortune Magazine, Spotify, and NBC all use WordPress backgrounds. I'm very comfortable working in WordPress myself. I know that Sue Timmons' son is very comfortable working in WordPress, so I'm sure she'd be up to date on that. And the biggest thing for all of this is that we already pay for the Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs, so their cost is significantly less because it's subsidized by our membership fees that we already pay them. The first year for WordPress with the Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs is $439, and that includes our 7 hours of setup. Actually, it's 7 hours total that you get. It includes a setup fee.
I'm sorry, is that why it's so cheap? Is the
subsidized? It's subsidized.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to get scared that.
Yeah. The build out typically takes 3 to 5 hours. And then they're constantly updating. And any extra time that we want with them is $60 an hour. And each updates take about 15 minutes. So we can buy them almost in, you know, increments of $60. It's, again, a subsidized by our membership cost. Our email is included, unlimited amounts of email. Storage, we can pay for additional storage if we don't, if we need more. And that we can also pay to email archive. So we start talking about retention and emails and how that all relates. It's only a little bit more money with boroughs.org to have email archiving. Again, if we went with VTS, I would then also be going out and looking for email host companies in addition to the $7,995 it costs for the first year for VTS. So based upon all of this information, the Communications Committee is recommending that we go with the Pennsylvania State Association of Boroughs program on a WordPress background to upgrade and improve our website and our email host.
Question for you. How do they save or back up what we currently have? Is that transferable to the new
That's
format?
That's part of the 5 hour setup.
Oh, that they mm-hmm. do that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. With WordPress, everything that we design with them and everything that is our content. It goes with us. See if there's anything else. No, I mean, those are all the points. Does anybody have any questions about the?
They give you 7 hours of setup.
That's included in your price of $439 for the first year.
And then how much is it after that?
If we go beyond the 7 hours, it's $60 an hour. It's about $1 a minute.
Okay. And then was VTS, they didn't have a limit, did they, on the setup?
No, I don't believe so.
No.
It was based on the design.
Okay. It was based on the design. Okay. So that, you know.
I don't know if we'd make up an additional $6,000, though, and that'd be 6,000 more hours.
Depending upon what we ask for, I mean, IT can be very expensive, so.
I've set up WordPress websites before. WordPress is the, it's the number one. 75% of all websites in the United States have a WordPress background. That's how pervasive they are, and that's how easy they are to work with. And they're constantly coming up with plugins, and there's always updates, and WordPress is constantly offering more things that will be available to us if we use them.
And they're the host as well?
Yes, it's a WordPress background. Yeah.
Okay, so they, you say we get unlimited email space and stuff?
So email's included. We get 4 gigs of space. We can pay for additional space, which is $75 a year or $135 a year or 5 gig increments of $20 as we need more space. Should we need more space? I will say that the gentleman at boroughs.org is incredibly responsive. I asked him a question about ADA accessibility as far as whether blind or deaf people can read or hear what's on our website, because that's something that VTS definitely touts as one of the big things that they do. And, you know, he wrote a blog article about it. You know, he sent me a picture. He sent me a link to the article. There's nothing in Pennsylvania that says anything needs to be ADA accessible on the web right now, but WordPress being so pervasive on the internet, they're already coming up with things and they already have things. So should it be required of us, it would not be an issue. It would cost us nothing more because of how up to date WordPress is.
It sounds really good, but can you share like maybe one or two, if they have them, website addresses that we can go see somebody, what another town's looks like?
If you go to boroughs.org and you go to services, there's, it says web design service, and then on the web design services page,
they have
cool links to every single one that they've done in Pennsylvania. Some of them are incredible, and some of them are but that has a lot to do with what the person at the borough, what the people at the borough want. And boroughs.org themselves is a WordPress website.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions about the website and the recommendation? Because I know this was a big topic, and I know we're all anxious to, again, for me, it's the email. The website can wait, but just to move forward. So I would like to vote on this next session.
Yeah, my only question would be on the, first of all, on the development cost, 7 hours just doesn't seem like very much. And just for budgetary purposes, we might want to assume that we're going to need something more than that. And then an ongoing tech support, I mean, I guess, was that included in the VTS package? Is that an extra cost under either of the two options? And was the training included in, like, 7 hours, does that include the setup and the training? Or is, it seems like such, there's got to be a reason, some reason for this big of a difference.
It's subsidized by everybody's borough dues.
That's still,
and VTS, I'll tell you the difference. VTS creates their entire back end themselves. They have an entire team of software engineers. That it's a Drupal background. It's a pretty complicated background, and they do it all themselves. WordPress is designed by millions of people all over the world, and it's put onto a single platform. So it's economy of scale plus our dues. He said that the build-out typically takes 3 to 5 hours. 5 hours for people who really don't know what they're doing, and 3 hours for people who are pretty, boom, here we are, this is what we want, we're ready to go. It all depends on how organized we are on our end. And then, if we do need more time, he said updates, anything that we might want to change, take about 15 minutes, which would be about $15. So certainly, as we go through the budget, I don't want to say it's $439. I think I'd like to give it a buffer of like $600 just to make sure that we're within it, especially if we want to spend $135 for more more email archiving.
We might need to live large and say $2,000 just so that we have, some buffer there for training and setup and,
I will ask the budget team what they think would be a fair buffer to put in there.
Yeah, Yeah, he was already budgeted, so.
Okay.
What's, the original vision was to create, try to go more paperless and to create secured areas for different groups to work within the borough, let's say the council versus maybe certain committees like the planning commission or whoever, you know, maybe even the communications committee or whatever. Is that part of the vision now to develop these secure areas? So there's a public view.
Right.
And then, you know, like almost like mm-hmm. thinking like an
HOA. Access. Yeah, permissions and access. That is actually something that I did not ask the gentleman at boroughs.org about, but I can certainly do that. And I guess the bigger question on that is, I mean, I'll plan for this now. We're of all of a certain generation. I think we're all very comfortable with email and attachments. And, you know, I'm still getting used to Dropbox myself. So I'm not sure if that's something that's, if it's more robust than we need right now, given how most of us communicate right now. But certainly I'll look into that, see if we can add extra pages for extra permissions.
Yeah, and see what if there's development costs associated right. with that. I know one of the things when we look in the comparison is kind of a roadmap is, you're right, today may not
right.
be the need, maybe because we're not there yet as, you know, as a
generation.
Technologically speaking. But, you know, thinking long term and the scalability and the capabilities long term of what the possibilities could be without making a major change in the future and having the right foundation to enable that to happen itself. So, you know, I just want to, at least originally when we were looking at this, we were thinking holistically and more longer term possibilities.
Right.
Even though we may not need it today.
Absolutely.
Granted, it's just baby steps to ultimately be able to get there over time at the end of the day. That's one of the questions. The other thing that I was wondering about as well is, again, and I'm sure you did this very comprehensive due diligence on it, is did you actually reach out to talk to different municipalities or boroughs mm-hmm. who have used PSAB services mm-hmm. and gotten references back mm-hmm. from them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I made sure that this was as, I tried to be as in-depth as you were last year, because I want to make sure I gave everything a fair shot, and I really had a full knowledge. My thing about a super long-term plan when it comes to technology is what we think today is, it's going to be so different in 5 years. So to build a really strong foundation that might be abandoned for completely different technologies in 5 years was, I just, maybe not the best use of $8,000.
One other question was, and I'm not familiar enough with the analytics on the mm-hmm. WordPress sites. What type of analytics can you get, or do you have examples of analytics that you could run off of the website? Because it's pretty useful to know what pages mm-hmm. are being visited, which ones are not being visited,
right.
what type of browsers or platforms are accessing mobile devices or otherwise, especially for social media integration and things of that nature.
Yeah. Definitely analytics as far as how many clicks we have and how many hits we have per page. Anything more in depth than that, I'll have to ask.
Okay, thank you.
And then a big part of that is who would be in charge of analyzing those analytics and then suggesting changes? Is that the communications committee who would be in charge of analyzing
it's a very good report, meaning that they're not overwhelming. And
right.
I would imagine whoever would be ultimately responsible for the website would ultimately get those reports.
Right.
I hope we have enough hits on the website to do analytics on.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And my last question, which I know is on the list and I didn't send it to you, was the search engine optimization piece of it to be able to find the website.
Yeah, WordPress is all over that. Yeah, for sure. And there's only two Chester Heights's in the country. So
really?
It's not like Middletown. Middletown, you could be on page 10 before you find Delaware County, PA. But Chester Heights, we're pretty unique to begin with. So any questions about that? Because I know I'm taking a lot of time tonight. I'll skip the next one. We can talk about it next. It's not even that important. Recording device and audio files. So one of the things that we talked about back in the fall, before the four of us were sitting in this table, was how do we make ourselves more accessible to the community and how do we be more transparent? So we are suggesting that we authorize the purchase of about, it's like $199 for a particular recording device at Best Buy that records a lot with a lot more clarity than what we currently have. And it's a 360-degree recorder, so it's really for boardrooms and spaces like this to record everything. And then within however many days, 2 days, 72 hours of any public meeting, a work session, or a council meeting, that we actually upload it to our website and say to everybody, if you weren't able to make the meeting, you can listen and hear what happened. If you're not sure, or if you want to know what was said because you had a conflict, you can listen and hear what happened. That way, people aren't just reading the minutes a whole month later, but they do feel like, oh, I wanted to make that meeting. And it's right there. It makes us more accessible. People know what we're saying. People know what we're talking about. It can make them more involved. A lot of other municipalities put their stuff on public television stations and whatnot. I don't think we're quite there yet. At one point, we talked about maybe doing Facebook Live for these meetings. I think that there's probably a better place for it. So on our website, because our website is our number one means of communication. So we are proposing that we buy a better recording device and then put the audio files on our website.
Did you all discuss just videotaping it as an option? Like a small little video camera somewhere over there?
Not at this point. We thought audio would be a good place to start and then to see if people are actually accessing it. Right? So the audio is less expensive and it's a baby step. And if we go on our analytics page and see that people are clicking on the audio file and people are listening to audio files and there's a lot of interest in them, and then maybe we can talk about, in a couple years upgrading to video. But that requires a lot more money, a lot more investment, and somebody much more technology savvy than me. And I think we all have a lot of responsibilities right now, and the audio bits are the same concept with the least amount of effort and least amount of money.
Just one question about that. Would you be be able to download those files or stream those files from the website? The reason I asked that, getting back again to the website, is streaming capability to support potentially video and audio.
It would be a podcast plugin.
Okay, so that's how you would put in?
I asked. Yeah.
Just to make
sure
that.
Because I was afraid we would run out of space with the audio files. So the suggestion with the boroughs.org gentleman is that we embed them immediately and we start right away as he builds it, so it's not something that's retrofitted. So it's right in from the beginning, which is why I want to approve that next month as well. So we're doing everything all at once and making sure we're doing it right. And he'll recommend the software to reduce audio files to the minimum space and then put a podcast plugin on the website, which will make it very easy for us to upload and manage the audio. And that would all be part of our 7 hours, and we should be able to accomplish everything within the budget of the first year by setting all that up right away rather than retrofitting it. What's next?
Did you go over business cards, or did you skip that?
I'm skipping it because I'm taking so long, and it's just not a pressing matter. The newsletter. Dates for the newsletter I will have for you for next month. I want to say it's March 15th. is when we need to have our submissions in. So whatever the fire company would like to share in the spring newsletter, whatever topic you would like to talk about, we would love a submission from you. You want to put in what you're talking about, MS4?
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, and whatever we're putting in the Garnet Valley Press, something else, and we can explain it and do something else. And I think that was the other extras in the newsletter. But I'll put up a memo about that for next month. The goal is to have it out May. And I need to work on the budget for that or whatever it is. And we'll look at what we did last year, and it's about the same. And they're working on advertisements. And I did give them a list of like 6 new businesses in Chester Heights to hit up to hopefully advertise.
Are you using Hometown Press?
Yes.
Yeah, because they don't charge anything if they have enough advertisers.
Right.
It's just the mailing.
Right.
Which is about $500.
Yeah.
So you said awesome. May?
Yeah.
Oh, so
It'd be too late. I know. And then survey. At some point in the spring, I want to put out a survey as how people want to get information from us, and I would like council's input on that. Right now, we currently have an Instagram site that is not active. And I'd like to ask the community, if we did have an active Instagram, would they follow it and would they interact with it? Because if not, I'm not sure that's the way we need to be spending, well, I'll be honest, my time at this point or any of our time on the committee. Same with Twitter. I'm still fighting with Twitter about the emails and getting access to it. But if people aren't, there's no point in making that effort if people are not actually going to follow it and we're not going to have interaction with the community, because then it's just an exercise in academia. And then, so somehow I want to put out a survey. We can create a free SurveyMonkey. So we could use emails for that, but we need emails in order to do that. And we only have like 50. So I'm trying to figure out, and I'd like to kind of ask everybody, how would we best get a survey out there for how people want to
hear from us? Can we put one in the
newsletter? I don't know if we can put an insert in the newsletter or not. Because if we mail one, then you want to self-adjust to envelope mailing back, and then we're talking about thousands of dollars in mailing and stamps, and that's kind of a pain in the butt. But how do we get to people?
I'd recommend a postcard that directs them to our website that has a survey.
That has a survey on it.
The only problem is if it's a family that doesn't have internet. Well, they mostly do.
Most have internet. It's just who doesn't have social media.
Yeah, I don't know how much a postcard costs, but I don't think they're that expensive.
No. Okay.
That would be my
So just, too. Honestly, the surveys on there, just the concept I have, can we think on it, and we'll address it again in a month or so. I'm done. I know you want me to be done. I'm done.
Gina, thank you. Okay, moving ahead, item number 9, community parks. Teresa.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of council. I just have 2 items. One is for the children. So I would like to propose tonight a preliminary agreement, and I'm looking to have an Easter egg hunt on March 18th, and I would like to have a preliminary agreement on a budget and a date to bring to council. March 5th is our next meeting. So I'm looking for a date of March 18th at our park.
Are we allowed to find chocolate, or is it only for kids?
So, are we allowed to?
Are we allowed to find chocolate, or is it only for kids?
You can find whatever you want, Mr. Councilman. So, I'm looking at March 18th as the date, and I'm looking for a budget not to exceed $3,700. We're trying to find a lot of things that are donated. We're looking at 2 age groups, and we are looking to rent an Easter Bunny outfit. Any takers on who wants to be Easter Bunny for that afternoon? And we're going to have some marketing tools that we're going to use. I'm going to hand out and pass around a preliminary poster that we'd like to put out and about, just for preliminary. I don't really have much. I'm working with Fred and Larry and Sam. We're going to have things donated. We're going to have volunteers, and I just want to throw that out. Is there any questions before I move on to my next topic?
Not a question, only that we didn't budget any. There's nothing in the budget for it, so.
There's nothing in the budget for an Easter egg hunt?
Yep.
Ever? Anywhere?
No. If I may. There's a $3,500 budget for Community Day. It's not specified as to which day that would be, so perhaps.
I think we leave areas of surplus, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Already? This year?
So basically, you're saying we could use the $3,500 for that?
Correct. I mean, it is a community involvement day.
Okay, but there was no specific.
It was not associated with any specific date or
you
time.
You just figured you were going to have something at some point.
It was going to be right.
You weren't sure what it was going to be?
Spring or fall.
Okay.
As long as we know that we're using that amount, we're good.
I'm not going to vote on it.
No.
It's on 4450. It's expense 459.20 community.
That's fine.
I just thought it was a good idea for the kids. and to showcase our borough and our park. So moving along, since I'm not able to ask for a vote.
I'm sorry, and the only suggestion I have is that you just make sure that the lawn mow service and everything is there, you know.
Yeah, that's my next, next topic.
That they do something right before that.
Yes,
so
okay.
Just want to make sure they're lined up on the time.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's getting late. So, Mr. Chair, I have one more item.
Sure.
Scott's Lawn Service I've been in contact with, and I believe that a budget was already approved. I think, Philip, is that what you just said? And I'd like to get with him before we have the Easter egg hunt, because if we can move forward, I'd like to have him do the aerating and the mulching of the park.
And those funds have
they've already been approved. My understanding is it was approved, and we're ready to move forward.
Okay.
And there is some other issues on the park that I'm hoping that at some point we can move along. I know that the parking lot needs to be repaved, so that is something that I'm working on, and that is all that I have.
Okay, moving forward,
the bids are actually out on the street for the park, paving.
Okay.
So I forget the date, somewhere between, it won't be for the next borough council meeting, but a couple weeks thereafter, at borough hall here, we'll have the bid opening, so I'll be able to report prior to the next work session.
Okay.
What those bids came in on, so the borough council can act accordingly.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving forward, number 10, there was a vacancy on the zoning hearing board. That is as an alternate. After some discussion tonight, I would propose that we have Gina post on the borough website as well as our other social media platforms. Any resident interested? They can submit a resume to Sue Timmons, the borough secretary. And I would propose that the cutoff for those resumes to be sent in would be 1 week prior to the March work session. Any comments or suggestions?
Isn't that?
Work session is what, 3 weeks away?
Oh, the work session.
The work session, correct. Not the next
regular
council meeting. So that should give us, or I'm not us, or the residents plenty of time.
Yep.
I can send out a constant contact email with that as well.
Okay.
Mr. President, could I do one new business? Promise it takes 30 seconds.
Sure.
Before we move on. Just to let the council know, Mr. Kokoza, Mr. Baum, and I, as part of the fire department finance group, met with the fire department, and at the legislative session we're going next week, we're going to be asking to fund our normal borough rent, $11,000 out of the LST budget for the fire department for the borough building. And then we're going to be asking for a disbursement of $15,000 out of the borough fire tax to meet some of the operating expenses and needs of the fire department. So just want to let the council know we're going to be asking for those funds at the next meeting.
Okay, very good. Moving forward, if there's no other comments on that vacancy, I will have Gina post that notification on the website and our other social media platforms. And is everybody in agreement as far as a cutoff date of 1 week prior to the March work session?
Which would be the 19th?
If you say so, I don't have
no.
A calendar.
Well, is the work session's the third week, right?
Correct.
So it's the 19th. Got it. Okay.
Any questions or comments on that? Concerns? Okay, moving forward. Item number 11. Council will now go into executive session. We ask that all residents excuse themselves.
Drew, before we do that, I just wanted, it's not on the agenda, but I met with the fellow from Office Basics that we deal with, and we talked to him about getting a half table extension.
Okay.
So that we can more reasonably fit our very large group here.
Sure.
It's $185.
Okay.
Does that need to be?
That would be brought up for a motion at the council meeting.
At the council meeting.
Coming up in a couple months, or a couple weeks.
Mr. President, I suggest usually we do any additional questions at the end, but if we're going to executive session, you may want to do it beforehand so people can.
Sure. Skipping forward to item number 14, are there any other additional comments?
I just have one question.
Sure.
Marta Driscoll, 458 at the very beginning, Mr. Kenny came in with a schedule, and he mentioned that he had been with the, he went to the Planning Commission and presented the plan to them. It was my understanding that everything was supposed to be presented to council, and then council sends things to the Planning Commission. So my question is, is it customary that people address the Planning Commission first? Or, I mean, are we supposed to follow the code and saying that they go to council first and then council sends it to Planning Commission?
Well, in his case, that was a very raw sketch. I think, Matt, you
would agree. Yeah, it's informal, so it's... The borough receives them usually at the Planning Commission for just informal discussion. I think that's where the status of that application is.
Okay.
So I think it's appropriate that they were at the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Anyone else, Larry?
Just also, 103 was also in front of Borough Council as a sketch plan well over 10 years ago, I think. And, there were other members on Borough Council. It had a lot of issues at the time. Push that to the Planning Commission to work through a lot of those issues there. The only other thing I asked, I had sent an email out regarding electronic plans for the fire department. The fire department basically takes plans of structures in the building or in the borough and pre-plans them and puts them, in digitized or electronic format that's available in the fire truck. So if we get calls and stuff, and I don't know where the electronic formatting of in the borough stands since I've been no longer on Borough Council. I know in the past they had DocStar, and that became a very expensive proposition to maintain and keep up with. But I know a lot of those documents are still electronic. But since that time, when we stopped using DocStar till present, I'm not sure where a lot of the electronic is and whether the fire department can get permission from borough to just get the plans, both the plot plans and the building plans of
Wawa
and the buildings next door here.
Okay.
And I don't think there's been too many other developments that have been come forth. I mean, and different plans of Lenape Valley,
okay,
which coming forth. We put them, so that it all goes into our street mapping and stuff like that. So if Borough Council could look into that, I'd appreciate that.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
Larry, I think that's part of the long-term plan to start digitizing here. It's just something that is going to be a very cumbersome, very expensive proposition. And when we knew DocStar wasn't working very well, that's part of the earlier conversation about record safety and records retention, mm-hmm, is that eventually the plan would be to get as much as we can digitized. But we know Edgemont Township did it. It cost them over $200,000.
Yeah. And a lot of the records are.
Yeah.
They're just not in any
accessible,
usable,
mm-hmm,
fashion right now. And I know that before, too much water goes over the dam, we need to at least get what is currently been approved or in process,
mm-hmm,
of building electronically digitized and, kept somewhere, even if it's on a CD, DVD, or, that way at least we can maintain, and we're not spending money, because I know Borough Council at one time thought about requesting digitized formats before they gave final approval, so... I'm not sure whether that ever passed or not.
I don't know either.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Did you say you sent an email to everybody in council? Or just certain people?
I thought I had. And maybe it didn't go through. I did it from my iPhone using just for that.
I went to find an email that I sent Jerry of this policy I talked about earlier, and I couldn't find my email. I'm anxious. We'll do it.
Okay, since we're jumping around, old business, any old business?
Just this is for the executive session. Are we able to sit on the agenda and talk about the Sunoco as well?
Yes,
I
have a
note. Okay, it wasn't official in the
agenda.
Okay, thank you.
I have a note here. Old business, okay, moving forward. At this point, we will move into executive session.
Time's 8:55.
Time's 8:55.
Thank you.
Gary, do we need the resolution?
Because I was only asking.
We did not do them last.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, you're good.
All right.
I just didn't know.
Because if we did do them, we should start doing them.
Well, you'll be okay. I just wanted to do a motion and just start to get this person on the board.
Okay.
I didn't
Drew,
know if you were doing it.
Drew, do you want to be my 10-6 session?
No, this is like staying, Matt. You
yes.
don't.
No.
No.
No. No. Okay.
Can I leave?
Can I leave?
You're not going nowhere, Matt. Sit down.
Are these off?
Others have received.